For better or worse, having a social life in America, especially if you're single, is often closely connected with alcohol. And for a lot of people, that's fine. But for others, about 15 million nationwide, alcohol addiction is a serious problem. People recovering from alcoholism may find they have to figure out how to live a new life, one not so wrapped up in the rituals of drinking. Seattle journalist Erica C. Barnett confronted that dilemma when she gave up alcohol. She explains how drinking was part of the persona that she'd once imagined for herself.
Growing up, I really idolized a lot of writers who were sort of big personalities. I grew up in Texas, and I idolized Molly Ivins, of course, and also people like Hunter S. Thompson, the people that every sort of alternative journalist grows up idolizing. And a lot of those people were really hard living, hard smoking, hard drinking types of characters, hard drug doing. And so that was sort of the type of person that I thought I would grow up to be. And then I started working at a newspaper where I think drinking was a little bit more of the culture. And I really enjoyed it. And I loved sort of feeling like I was in the in crowd. I loved being able to meet with people over drinks just to get to know sources. That is a wonderful way to get to know a source over a couple, 5, 10 drinks. And it just made sense to me that, well, that's what journalism culture is. It's, you know, it's hard drinking. It's you write with a whiskey every night. You do interviews with a drink in your hand. And so that's what I did for about 10 years.
How much of your writing did you do in bars?
I did a lot of writing in bars. There's a bar over on Broadway that's not there anymore called Septium. And that was my place. And I felt very comfortable there. And I would sit there on I think it was Tuesday nights and write my City Hall column and, had knocked back a few vodka sodas and watch people walk by and say hi to people. And that's just, that just seems like a normal way of doing it to me. And to a certain extent, it still does. I don't understand coffee culture or writing in the middle of the day. That just all seems incredibly foreign to me now that I don't drink and even after several years of not drinking.
So how did it dawned on you that alcohol was becoming a problem for you?
Oh, man. I think it dawned on me when my friends started making jokes about, oh, you're such an alcoholic. And I started thinking, I don't know if I find that word that funny. And when I would write something at Septium, and I would just think, oh, my God, this is the most brilliant thing in the world. And I'd look at it the next day and go, this makes no effing sense. And I started to realize that my writing, instead of having this amazing clarity that I thought that drinking gave me as a writer, it was actually really muddling my writing and making it kind of confusing in ways that people were noticing. And I was, I was making errors. I was just kind of not telling the story with a clarity that I would hope to have. So that was very early on, because near the end, I would say, and for the last few years, I was drinking alone at home. I wasn't going out. I wasn't partying. I wasn't having a good time. I was just a depressed writer sitting at home, slowly killing myself.
So after you got sober, did you take a break from going to bars for a while?
I did. Yeah. I didn't go to bars for probably 6 months. And, The AA saying is, if you keep going to the barbershop, eventually you're going to get a haircut. And I don't think that that's necessarily true, but I tried to abide by that at first.
Yeah. What do you remember about when you went back to bars?
I remember feeling very relieved that I felt comfortable there and that I didn't feel the need to drink or the desire to drink. That was kind of an amazing feeling. And realizing that, having that security in my own sobriety and my own sort of ability to resist something that had really had me in its grip for such a long time was really empowering.
How differently do you see the scene at a bar? Do you have totally different goggles now than you did then?
I think I do, because I think it's like, it's like I have supervision or something, because I've been, that person and that person, So I think the ecosystem of a bar is really interesting. You have people who are on first dates, you have people who are fighting, you have people who are having a really good time or out for a girls' night or whatever. And I think I perceive that a little more clearly now because I'm not just paying attention to myself. And it really is, for me, it's really fun to be the sober person in a bar, you know, up to a certain point. And what sets me off is when people sort of treat me like a delicate flower, you know. Hey, do you want to get drinks? Oh God, I'm so sorry. Oh my God. Oh, I'm so embarrassed. And the whole time I'm just thinking, could you just please treat me like I'm normal? I mean, I know I'm not normal, but I don't need this extra attention. And some of it is me. I mean, some of it is just, you know, me thinking, oh, it's weird to set up a coffee date in the middle of the day. Who does that? You know, all kinds of people. Everybody does that. Like, literally everybody. But to me, that just feels so strange still.
Just out of curiosity, what kind of person do you feel like when you're proposing a coffee date in the middle of the day?
Oh, I feel like somebody who works at the Chamber of Commerce and, like, wears pumps and a suit and, you know, blow dries their hair.
And for people who cannot see you, you are not that?
I am wearing a hoodie and some silver Stan Smiths, and I did blow dry my hair today, but it took about 5 seconds. And yeah, I feel very, very straight world when I do that.
Yeah. Well, is that part of what makes, I mean, addiction is complex, right? But is part of it giving up a certain way of seeing yourself?
That's a really good observation. It is. It's seeing yourself as somebody who has this kind of sexy vice. And I'm not saying that addiction is sexy. That is, you know, a complete misconception of what especially late stage addiction is like. But it is giving up this idea of yourself as like the person sitting in the back of the bar, the last person to leave, a nighttime person, and all the things that that connotes. And thinking of yourself as one of the people that goes to AA meetings at 5 o'clock.
Erica C. Barnett blogs at The C is for Crank. She writes about addiction and recovery in her forthcoming memoir, From Viking Books.